you were living with Rinpoche Chan, was it the case that maybe not as fierce as this, but the majority of the teachings or many of the teachings were more Korwat or practical matters as opposed to the high Dhamma?
I've never really thought of it like that. So, I mean, it was all, I didn't really differentiate it. Because it's all aspects of training. So he would be covering, just like that, the aspects of communal harmony, standards of practice. But it's also interspersed with perspectives on how to reflect and investigate. Similar, he'll pick up perspectives for reflecting on the five khandhas or dependent origination, but he'll pull it back to ordinary things as well. Because there's not really a separation. Because it isn't as if it's a... This is a... sort of like a beginner's Dhamma, and then there's a high Dhamma. So they're intertwined, interlinked. So that it would be... You know, he'd pick up different themes, and he'd develop themes of meditation, but it wouldn't be... It'd never be that far away from how to conduct oneself skillfully in the monastery as well.
Interesting. We had a question earlier. Did Rinpoche Chah ever encourage people to study Dhamma? And right there, he caught it. He was saying, yeah, study the texts, pay attention to them. And it's interesting because, yeah, the context is, if he was aiming to talk more at the younger ones, who probably had less, who may not have done so much study, mm-hmm. then that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what he taught wasn't sort of an absolute teaching that you apply across the board. It was whatever he taught had a specific purpose, and that was the end of suffering, how to cultivate the skills of being a practitioner.